Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, and thank you for joining the Managing MS as a Family conference call. When one member of a family has MS, it is important that the entire family learn to live with it. Improving or maintaining family functioning is key to helping you, your partner, and your children adapt to life with MS. This teleconference will discuss strategies for supporting the family as a whole, including communication within the family, talking to kids about MS, and navigating parenting challenges while living with MS. I'm now going to turn the call over to Ms. Luann Pierce, who will talk to you more about managing MS as a family. Please go ahead, Ms. Luann.
Thank you. Hello. Welcome, everybody. This is Luann Pierce. I'm a consultant for the National MS Society, and I'm glad to be here tonight to talk more about managing MS as a family. Just a few things that I want to mention before we actually start on the material. One is that the teleconference series is being supported by a grant from Novartis, so we want to make sure that we recognize that. Also want to just say that I received a list of questions beforehand. I think Piper Reynolds maybe sent out an email asking for questions. And so I received your questions, and I am going to try to make sure that all of those questions are answered in the presentation. Most of them were already, going to be covered during what we're going to be talking about. There may be some that were not. If we have time at the end of the call, I will open up for question and answers. Otherwise, I will try to just make sure that your questions that you emailed earlier are all going to be answered for you. We will be sending out a resource list after the call tonight. So there's a lot of publications out there that will answer some of your questions in more detail. And when you receive the email with the resource list, you'll be able to call and request those publications or look for them on our website for the National MS Society. And all of that information will be provided to you in the email. So I just want to make sure that you know that there will be follow-up, and the follow-up will include lots of resources about communicating with children, communicating with teenagers, communicating with family members, and some of the other things that we're going to be talking about tonight. There is a resource center, that we call it the IRC, the Information and Referral Center, in Denver, where you can call and talk to an MS specialist pretty much all day between the hours of 8 a.m. and 8 a.m. Eastern Time and 7 p.m. Eastern Time. And in order to contact the Information Resource Center, if you ever need more information about anything related to MS, you can always call the 1-800-FIGHT-MS phone number, and it's 1-800-344-4867. Again, that will be included in your follow-up information. So I hope you will enjoy what we have to talk about, even though it may not be the most pleasant topic. We want to make sure that you have the information that you need to manage MS, not only physically, but also emotionally and as a part of managing your household and your family. So one of the things that I guess I should introduce myself, I am Luann Pierce. I'm a clinical social worker. I have worked at the National Office for the MS Society in Denver in the Relationship Matters Program, which was a federal grant we had to develop a program for couples who are living with MS. And about a year ago, I finished up my part of the grant and have managed to stay in contact with the MS Society by doing training for self-help group leaders, as well as case management and care management, counseling and group support groups and things like that for the chapter. So I'm happy to be able to be here again tonight. I have a special connection with the MS Society, and certainly for couples and families who are living with MS. When I first researched this material, one of the things that I read that I found to be quite true and very interesting is that the way that people react to MS, and as whether it's when you're first diagnosed or in terms of dealing with it as a family, is generally the way that you and or your family deal with anything else that you are dealing with in your life. And so if you are a person or your family is oriented toward gathering more information and doing the research and being an informed consumer and all of that, that's probably the way you're going to approach managing MS. If you are a family or a person who tends to need some time to, process things and let things sink in and sort of keep that to yourself and wait a while before you want to share it with other people, then that's probably how you will deal with your MS. And, the point is that our coping skills for how we deal with life are the same coping skills that we'll be using to deal with MS, personally as well as dealing with MS as a family. So when it comes to how do I talk to my spouse or my partner, how do I talk to my children, those kinds of things, the communication skills that you use to talk about everything else would be pretty much the same. The coping skills that you use would be pretty much the same. Now, having said that, there's usually room for growth in those areas, and talking about things that are very emotionally sensitive certainly requires a degree of skill that most of us could learn more about and improve in. So what we want to talk about is really how the family as a system, as a whole, reacts to change, and we'll also be talking about how couples can stand together and present a united front so that children are hearing the same message from everybody, and how to make sure that the adults that are involved, maintain open lines of communication. We also want to talk a bit about just how to talk to children of different ages about MS and some of the reactions that you may run into with children of different ages. And we will talk a bit about boundaries and how to make sure that we are taking care of ourselves as well as our children and being clear about how MS, how we're going to handle MS as the adults, and that letting your children know that they're going to be taken care of one way or the other, and that they're not responsible for taking care of you emotionally. So getting your emotional needs met and making sure that your children are taken care of will continue to be something that you will do together as a team. And that seems to alleviate a lot of the concern that kids tend to have about any kind of change that's coming along. So be thinking about this in terms of how you usually cope with change or transitions in your life, and if there are areas that you feel like you need to improve in, then certainly you'll want to pay attention to those as we talk about them. And if it's not, if we don't talk about it specifically, whatever it is, just know that the resources that you receive after the call will help give you more information and other places to go to find more in-depth information that you can use. So if we talk about families as a system, so families are, of course, are made up of individuals, adults and children, and sometimes grandparents, and so we may cover many generations. And the family, if you look at the family as a whole, as a unit, sometimes we refer to the family as a system. And like any other system, you know, units, the whole unit operates together in a way that if there is a change or there is a transition or something's different with one person as a part of the family, then everybody that's a part of that unit is going to be affected by that. And what that means is, and it can be MS, it may be MS, it may be graduating from high school, it may be having a new baby, it can be a lot of things. Any of those things will throw the family units out of balance. And so when the family unit is out of balance, we tend to do our own form of self-correction, if you will, of kind of writing the unit to get the unit back into a space of homeostasis so that it feels like it's normal again, normal for your family, whatever that looks like. And so one of the things that's really important when you're dealing with something as unpredictable as MS is that you and your family as a whole learn how to be open, which means having open communication, learn how to be flexible. And it also means, as many of you I'm sure already know, that some of the roles and responsibilities for individual members will shift and continue to change. As unpredictable as MS can be, those things may need to be renegotiated many times. And it's really important that that is communicated to everybody in the family and that everybody understands that. Now, having said that, I also know that there is, an adjustment period, a psychological adjustment period that people go through, and it doesn't only affect the person who's diagnosed with MS, it affects everybody. And people go through that period of adjustment at different rates, you know, that you may, one person of the adult in the family may get there sooner than the other. That process of kind of working through some of the denial and the anger and the sadness and all of those things that come with change and loss are things that we don't really have control over, how fast we cope with those or work through those stages and learn how to cope with them. With MS, especially relapsing remitting, every time there's an exacerbation or something changes in terms of limitations or abilities, that grief process is triggered over and over again. And so it's not something you'll deal with only one time. It's something that not only you but everybody in your family will be dealing with on an ongoing basis. And everybody deals with it differently, and everybody experiences it differently. So those are things that are important not only for you to know, but important for you to be able to communicate with the young people that are involved in your family unit, as well as your other family members who may be extended family members and it may not even live in the same area where you are. But one of the questions that I had sent in by email talked about how to deal with family members who really don't understand MS and or just don't accept that it is what it is because of the invisible symptoms and a lot of people who are of a different mindset sort of have that mentality that you just pull yourself up by your bootstraps when you don't feel well and go on with your life. And not understanding MS in the way that it affects people, it can be really hard to deal with people who have that mindset So we'll be talking a little bit more about that, and some of the resources that you'll receive later will also give you other ideas about how to learn more. So one of the things really important for children, and it's really important for adults to know this, is that the kids are taking their cues from you. They're watching us all the time. They watch everything we do. They are aware of only what we share with them, and the rest of it they pick up bits and pieces about. And unfortunately, if they don't have the full story, they tend to make up what they think, you know, how to fill in the blanks, because they need it to make sense. And so the message that you send to your children about how you as a family or you as an individual are going to manage MS is really important, and it's something that you really need to take some time to consider. It's a personal or a decision you as a couple will need to make, and there's not one right answer. People have different ways of doing things. People talk to their kids or their other family members at, you know, different times in the process. Some people, as I said earlier, don't want to share the information about the diagnosis until later on. That's fine. It's one choice, and it's one of many. And people generally have good reasons for feeling that that's the way they want to handle things. But it's good to be conscious of the fact that you know, the kids are looking to you to figure out how they're going to react and how they should cope with the information that, you know, that something's going on with one of my parents. They may not know what it is. It may not have a name for them, but they know that something is happening. Kids are very sensitive. Emotionally, they can pick up on things that you may never want to talk to them about. And you know what? It's okay, and it's also actually good not to share too much information with your kids. But the other side of that is if you don't share something with them, they make up, you know, what they think is going on, and many times what they make up and what they assume to be happening is much scarier for them than, you know, the truth of what's going on. So I would encourage you really to give some thought to when you want to talk to your kids about MS, and keep in mind this is not going to be one conversation that you have. It will be many conversations that you have over different periods of time. There will be different conversations for different ages. If you have children that are different ages, you'll have, you know, one language that you use to speak to the younger children and a different language that you may use to speak to the older ones. You give information to kids based on where they are developmentally and using the language that they understand. There are many good resources available through the MS Society that will help you navigate some of those conversations, and there's a DVD called Timmy's Journey that that we send out to people who have children, and the DVD does a great job of, you know, in an animated, non-threatening way of explaining, you know, MS as a, you know, what it is, and making it something that's, you know, less scary and a lot more manageable for kids. So that will be on your resource list, certainly. You know, age-appropriate communication is important no matter what you're talking to your kids about. One of the things that we encourage people to do, especially when we were doing our Relationship Matters program, is to have meetings, family meetings, once a week, every 2 weeks, you know, whenever, however often you think you need to, where you get everybody together and sit down, and it can be as informal as you want, sit everybody down and just let everybody in the family go around and say, you know, what's going on with them since the last time you had the meeting. There will be ages when your kids will not want to communicate anything in a family meeting or otherwise. But it also is a good way for you to model for your kids how you're coping with the things that are going on. And, you know, we're all going to have difficulty coping with MS, physically, emotionally, and otherwise. It's difficult for people to cope. There will be times when you may be having problems coping yourself, and you certainly are not in a place where you feel like you can talk to your kids about that. But what's important is that you say that to your children, that you realize that it's important, and many parents and adults don't believe this, but I absolutely believe it after 25 years of working with kids. It's okay for your kids to know that you don't have all the answers. It's okay for your kids to know that you are having the feelings that may be scary for you, that you may be dealing with anger, you may be feeling sad, and also then giving them permission to have whatever feelings that they have, because they have them anyway, and realizing that it is something that both children and adults experience and learn how to manage. I grew up in a family where my parents tried to protect us from having to cope with or confront things that were uncomfortable or scary or sad. And consequently, you know, as a young adult, I really was not prepared to deal with life. So allowing your kids to learn the coping skills that will help them manage not only life with MS, but everything else that comes into their lives. The coping skills that you learn, for one thing, apply to everything else as well. And also giving them permission to talk about and ask questions about, what is MS and how's it affecting you who personally who have the symptoms, as well as giving them permission to feel whatever they feel, and understanding that the feelings may be uncomfortable for a while, and that you will learn how to cope with those, and giving them the hope and the direction, the guidance to be able to do that. One other thing I want to say before we actually talk about communicating with kids at different ages is that the boundaries, which is kind of a term that may seem unclear sometimes, boundaries are really sort of these invisible lines, if you will, of stay between the lines sort of thing, of what's too much, what's enough, and how to protect yourself as well as your kids, and do things, whether that means setting limits for your kids. That may be setting rules and having consequences. It also means how much information you share with them as the parent when they're children, no matter what their age is. There are different degrees of what's okay to talk about with kids at different ages, and that will change as they grow. But it's really important for us as the adults to know that we get our emotional needs met from our own adult support network, whoever that is, whether that's family, friends, the MS Society, your neurologist, whoever, your self-help group. Those are the people and the places that we go as adults to get our needs met, our emotional needs met. Our kids don't, that's not their role. They may have to take on extra chores in your household because of, changes that are going on within the family unit. They may need to learn how to cope with, things at an earlier age than other kids do. And there will be a lot of things that they, there's no choice about. And they may have to help you do things physically at some point. But they are not responsible for our emotional well-being. And it's really important to understand that. And it's really important to find a way to get your emotional needs met by other adults in a way that allows your children to be children and allows your children to continue to have as normal a childhood or an adolescence as possible, even though there are going to be things that will be different from other, maybe other families. And keeping that in the forefront of your mind and being sure that they know that. Kids are really intuitive, and they, you know, you'll be, it's easy to see role reversal happen where the kids become, try to parent you as an adult. And, you know, it's good for kids to have empathy and compassion, and you want them to be there and and be there for each other and your family to you know, be there for everybody in the family. But you don't want them to feel responsible for your emotional well-being because that's way too much pressure for a child. It's important to let them know that we're still going to make sure that they're taken care of emotionally and physically, and that we will get our needs met as adults in the appropriate way, which means from other adults. So something that I think is definitely worth mentioning. So I want to talk a little bit about what we know about children who have a parent with MS, and this comes from years of practice by people who work in the MS Society and working both with families and with children. Most kids adapt pretty well to life, in a family where there's MS. They have patterns of reacting to information from their previous experiences, and they generally, the reaction of your children will mimic your reactions. So you won't, you can pretty well expect however you are coping and whatever, however you're dealing with things emotionally, that's how your kids learn to deal with things, not just with MS, but with, with other things. And that's true also of other family members and friends. The thing that's important to remember is that people don't know what to say. Kids especially don't know what to say, but other family members don't know what to say. They have, they don't understand. They don't have the words to know how to say the right thing. I've heard a lot of people with MS say, here's the worst thing that people say, and it may be things like, oh, you look fine, and things like that. But people generally are not intentionally being obtuse or trying to avoid talking to you or dealing with what's going on. It's just like when there's a crisis, any other kind of crisis, most of the time people just don't know what to say. And so they generally either don't say anything or they say things that may show their lack of understanding. So, it's important to know that you can do some education and help people have more facts instead of sort of the myths that they hear about MS. And, somebody who knows one person with MS will think that everybody who has MS has those symptoms. And we know certainly that that's not true. So it's good to research and plan how to discuss any information that you want to talk about with your children. You can be sure that they're going to have questions. They always have questions. They may not ask the questions that they most want to ask, but it's okay to say, I don't know, if you don't know. And when kids ask questions about, what's going to happen or how are we going to deal with this? If it's something that you really don't know yet, it's okay to say you don't know and tell them, that you'll keep them informed as you learn more. That's really honest, and it's not sharing too much information, and it's also letting the kids know that we're not hiding things from them, but you will tell them what's age appropriate at the right times when you find out. But kids often feel anxious and they feel guilty. So a lot of times parents underestimate the emotional impact that MS may have on their kids. The guilt, of course, is, did I cause it? You know, what happened? Am I responsible? And they also often feel guilty because they can't fix it. And, you know, that's just part of sort of how their minds work. Of course, the feelings of anxiety have to do with, you know, not knowing what's going to happen, not knowing what this means, you know, and things like that. So you can anticipate some of these things, and the feelings of anxiety and guilt certainly may be some of them. Kids generally want to know what's going on. So when we withhold information because we're, you know, we don't want to burden them, yeah, that's a noble cause. And again, you want to recognize the boundaries and when's the right time to disclose what and have to disclose it. But it's really important to understand that kids know something's happening. They don't know why you're acting strange, but they are scared, and they will make up stories that they think make sense to answer the questions that may be really way off base. Since physical symptoms are visible and easier to understand, that part may be easier for the kids to recognize and cope with, but they misinterpret things like fatigue and cognitive changes. You know, they don't understand that. They don't, and adults really don't understand that part either of MS. And so without an explanation that these are symptoms of MS, and it's not just that mom or dad or whoever has MS is no longer interested in what's going on with you, or you know, can't remember things, and you know, those kinds of things. It's important to let them know that you know, that these are things that are part of the disease and part of the things that you are learning how to cope with. If there are ways that they can help you cope with these things, like reminders or, you know, things like that, things that aren't too much responsibility for kids, we're going to talk more about. So age-appropriate information, kids need to know that this is not a fatal disease. You know, some of their main questions are, the ones that they may not ask, they're afraid you're going to die. And, you know, we all die at some point, but MS doesn't generally shorten your lifespan unless there are complications. And so they need to know that you're dealing with an ongoing chronic illness, and, you know, that it's not like cancer or, you know, some of the other things that they hear about that mean, you know, that you'll be gone soon. So they need to know that. They also need to know that it's not something that's contagious. You know, these are kids that we're talking about. Even the ones who are older, you know, the teenagers, it's amazing the amount of misinformation or lack of understanding that's available. And, you know, kids are afraid that this is something that's going to happen to them, too. And so while, you know, the jury is still out about whether, you know, the genetics involved in MS, and you can certainly say that, you know, we're still understanding more about that, but it's not something that they can, you know, that they catch like they catch a cold or the flu. And so it's really important for them to understand that. You may need to seek, you know, some pretty specific counseling about the appropriate messages to send to your children at appropriate times. One of the things that happens a lot is, you know, that we see a lot is, you know, women often have exacerbations after they give birth. And if kids grow up hearing this story about mom got MS after I was born, then they may have, you know, they may connect that in their minds to think that it's they caused it. it's their fault that it, you know, because it happened after childbirth. And so you want to be sure that you reassure kids that that's not the case, that they don't have anything to do with you having MS. You know, they didn't cause it, and they can't control it or can't fix it. Also, important to know that if you use terminology that may reinforce that message, like when you're tired, or you know, and your kids are acting out, or not doing their homework, or you know, something that is causing stress for everybody in the family, and if they hear you say things like, you know, this is going to cause me to have a flare up, or this is making my MS worse, or this is, you know, something like that, that will reiterate to them and reinforce the idea that somehow they have some responsibility or control over the disease. And obviously they don't. So it's important to be careful how you word things. Also, here are some of the reasons that we've learned for parents to talk to their children about MS. For one thing, it helps ensure that you are the source of the information that your child gets instead of, you know, hearing it second or third hand. That gives you the opportunity to make sure that they get correct information and that the information is age appropriate. They may still hear things, you know, from family or friends or at school about MS, and there may be some confusion about that, but you would rather be the person who talks to them about it rather than having, you know, a family member or a friend start to be the one who starts talking to them about this and not really having any control over what information they receive. Being able to talk to your kids about MS really validates for the kids that what they have sensed, that there's something going on, that is true, and it helps, I think, relieve some of their anxiety to know that, okay, something's wrong, this is what it is, and, you know, mom and dad or mom or dad are still, you know, they're not going to die, and I'm not going to get sick, and, you know, all of that, just so that they take the anxiety down a notch or two. Providing some kind of reassurance for the kids that, you know, that you're still going to be there for them, that you're going to do as much as you can to meet their needs, their emotional needs, and make sure that they're taken care of. If there comes a time, if you have progressive MS or your symptoms get worse or during an exacerbation and, you know, you're not able to take care of the children in the way that you have previously, it's important that the message that they get is, I'll make sure you're taken care of. Even if you're not the person who's able to do that, just they need to hear that, you know, that reassurance that, you know, the adults are still in control here. I'm not. It's really scary when you're a kid to think that that you're the person, the person who has to make sure everything's okay. I mean, that's very frightening. So the opening up the lines of communication about MS makes it easier for your kids then to come back to you and ask questions. If you set the tone and send the message that it's okay to talk about this, that it's okay to have your feelings, whatever they are, and that it's okay to ask questions, then that takes away a big element of the fear and uncertainty that children have. Some kids will ask questions that they have, others won't. Even if they're not talking, you know, there's some regressive behaviors that may happen when there's any kind of change or transition in a family. No matter what age your kids are, one of the things that can happen is that they kind of start doing behaviors that they outgrew years ago. And that may be everything from bedwetting to thumb sucking to, you know, being really clingy and needy and not wanting to let you out of their sight. And, you know, maybe getting really emotional when you have to leave the house or drop them off at school. Some kids develop school phobia, you know, and things like that. So all of that really is, it can be one of the signs that, you know, they're having some trouble coping. And certainly you want to make sure that if they are having difficulty coaching, that you get them some help. And if they're, you know, if they're having trouble at home, it's also usually a good idea to let the school know that there are some things going on, you know, that may affect them at school, so that the, you know, the teacher or the guidance counselor, school social worker can kind of watch out for them. And again, you get to decide how much information you disclose. You don't have to tell the people at the school that you have MS. You don't, you know, you can tell them as much or as little as you want. And, you know, there are benefits to disclosure at the right time to the right person. And we have information in the resource center that's available about when to disclose and what to disclose and how to disclose. If that's something that you're interested in, certainly, you know, you can call the 800 number and ask them to send you that material, or you can look it up on our website. The easiest way to find things on our website is type in the word that you're looking for in the search engine, and you'll get lots of choices on about most things. But, you know, that's another piece of information that you need to have an opportunity to think about and decide beforehand how much you want to say, what you want to say, when you want to say it, who you want to say it to. That applies to your workplace, of course, as well. So in terms of what to say and how to say it and getting the information across to the kids, it's important to remember that kids have different learning styles, and the learning styles change, of course, based on how their age and stage, if you will. Sometimes written materials are helpful. Computer sites may be helpful. There are family programs available through the chapters that may be helpful. One of the things on our website that is useful for teenagers is there's a site, chat site that's associated with our national website where teens can go and talk about, you know, MS in the family. And so that's something that can be really helpful. As I said, we have DVDs and coloring books and activity books and things like that that explain MS and how, you know, how it affects the body and all of that. And those things can also be really helpful, and they can be used in a variety of ways. You may want to sit down with the Timmy's Journey DVD, which is the animated kind of cartoon-like DVD that explains MS and talks about things in kid language. That's appropriate usually for kids between the ages of, I'd say, 5 and up. Teenagers love animation, so even having teenagers take a look at it. You may want to sit down as a family and view the video or the DVD and then, you know, just naturally have a conversation afterwards, ask if the kids have any questions or what their thoughts are about what they just saw, and let them watch it at their leisure, you know, let them watch it when they want to. They may want to watch it when you're not around. Another thing that's really important to remember is kids are very protective of their parents, and they don't want to hurt your feelings, which means they may not say a lot of things that they may not ask a lot of questions that they have. They may not express a lot of feelings or things like that because they don't want you to feel bad. For example, if your child is sad, they may not want to say that because they don't want you to feel like it's your fault that they're sad. So it's our job as the adults to make sure that they get the message that being sad is okay and talking about your feelings is okay. It's also important to let kids know that if they don't feel comfortable talking to you about how they're feeling, that they should talk to somebody else that they're, you know, that they're comfortable with and close to, whether that's somebody at school, a teacher, a guidance counselor, or a social worker, or another family member. And if necessary, counseling or play therapy is very effective, for allowing kids to sort of work things out in their own way. Kids don't communicate the way that we do, especially younger kids. Their way of communicating is through their play. And so, expecting them to talk about, how they're feeling is often kind of off the mark. But what you can see if you watch their play is that they may have a doll that's sick, or they may have, a baby who is who's sad or crying a lot or angry or something like that. And so you'll see them sort of work through scenarios in their play that may very well express what's going on with them. And many times the theory behind play therapy is that they continue to work through these kind of scenarios, sort of approaching them from different angles until they find a way that it works out so that they sort of resolve the problem. And that may mean that they comfort the sick child or the crying baby or, something like that. But play therapy is very effective, but it's hard to understand, I think, and can be kind of complicated. But if you need a referral for counseling, you can call the 800 number, and whoever answers the phone there can give you a list or send you a list of counselors within 5 miles, 10 miles, however many miles you want, of your home address. You can check them out and see which ones take your insurance or, whatever, and see if you can get somebody, to help if your child is showing signs of struggling and not feeling safe enough to talk about it. The emotional reactions that you may see in kids who are dealing with change or transition or something difficult, especially young kids, like up to 3 years old, you may see, the changes in sleeping or eating patterns. That can happen, actually, with kids of any age. You may start to see some regressive behavior, like problems with toileting and wanting to be held all the time and wanting to be comforted. One of the things that you can do to help kids that age to better help them cope is maintain their normal schedule. Having that consistency of the normal schedule, things are whatever can remain the same. However, you can keep some normalcy in your family for your kids and for everybody really is important to do that. Maintain whatever schedule they're used to. If you need help with, chores around the house or help with child care, you can ask for help with those things. You want to make sure you give the kids plenty of physical contact. Watch their play so that you can watch for clues to how well they're adjusting. And be sure that you reach out to other adults to get your needs met and talk about your fears and your emotional needs met. You may want to consider even, some kind of relaxation or, some music or tapes or videos or something that are soothing for kids that are that age. The emotional reactions for kids between the ages of 3 and 5, they may have fear of the dark, fear of everything really, new people, new places. Monsters under the bed. They may have nightmares. They may start baby talking again. may be really afraid of leaving home or leaving you. And sometimes you see some hyperactivity, which is really sort of anxiety. You can help kids between the ages of 3 and 5 cope by using pictures or dolls or animals, stuffed animals, hand puppets, things like that, to sort of talk about either talk about the illness or talk about, you know, working through things that are scary, things like that. You also, you know, can read them stories about some of the adjustment issues that they may be dealing with, whether that's nightmares or things like that, so that they hear that, you know, in the story that people, the characters in the story experience the same thing, and it's not, you know, that's not something that other people don't have, and that it can be overcome. You can explain to them what to expect that's going to, you know, like changes in the schedule, changes in activities, changes in the caregivers. If somebody is going to be coming to the house to, you know, give you a shot or do some housekeeping or some of those kind of things, talk to the kids about that and tell them that you're going to be getting some help around the house or getting that somebody will be coming to the house to give you medicine, and so they won't be scared when it happens and won't start making up things about why, you know, these different people are in the house. And you also certainly want to reassure them that they'll always be cared for, and make sure that, you know, that they understand that you're still the adult and you're in charge, and even though your life is going to be different and things for you may change, you will make sure that they're okay, whether that means hiring somebody or getting help from relatives or friends. It's really important to continue the usual rules and the same discipline that you had before. You know, it's tempting to go easy on them and, you know, loosen up on the controls and all of that. That's not helpful. In fact, that's that can make things worse. And most importantly, encourage them to just play and be a kid. They may have to take on some extra chores or responsibilities, but in any way possible that they can maintain their usual activities and, you know, play with kids in the neighborhood or stay on the ball team if that's possible, you want to do that. For kids between the ages of 6 and 12, you may see some irritability. They may, you know, just be sad and kind of needy. You may see a lot of crying. There may be a lot of feelings of guilt and sometimes even jealousy, you know, because they want to spend as much time with you as they can. Separation anxiety, again, that sort of not wanting to leave and get really anxious and physically start to have physical symptoms, headaches, upset stomach, you know, those kind of things. Those can be signs of anxiety. Sometimes the kids that are between these ages, you know, right at puberty, get really hostile and start to be angry toward the parent who has the illness. And that, you know, is something that you may really need to seek counseling for. But you can also reassure them that it's okay if they're angry, and remind them in every way that, you know, that you're all angry at MS, at what MS is causing in your family, and redirect the anger to the appropriate cause, which is MS, instead of specific people. You may see some changes in grades or problems at school, some problems with concentration, and kids may start to express feeling afraid and kind of helpless. You can help kids this age, between the ages of 6 and 12. You can help them cope and talk to them about what's going on in the illness by using books. There are a lot of books that are geared toward this age group, and they, you know, they are not so much storybooks like for younger kids, but yeah, books that help explain what to expect, what the symptoms look like. Again, help make them understand that they didn't cause this problem and they can't control it. Reassure them of their care, make sure that they understand that you're going to make sure they're taken care of. Let them know how they can help. You know, at this age, they're getting old enough to, you know, that you can ask them or tell them what you need from them. And explain to them, you know, that that you may need more help from them than you have in the past, and you don't want to, you know, infringe upon any of their school, you know, homework or any of that. But there may be times when you need a little more from them. Encourage them to talk or draw or write about their feelings. With kids older than 9, it's okay to talk about the fact that MS is not usually fatal. You know, they really are the ones who are thinking about the fact that you may be sick enough to die. And also explain any transitions like hospital stays or anything like that. And we're getting close to running out of time here. Real quickly, teens, the way that you, the emotional reactions you may see from teens, they'll want to be, they may want to be treated with as an adult. You may see anger and rebellion, which you may see anyway. They may be very critical toward parents and adults in general. You may see depression or anxiety. You know, kids may be worried that people are going to judge them or look at them differently because they have a parent who's sick. And sometimes they can actually be cruel toward the parent who is sick. So if that happens, you definitely want to get some help for them and help them have a place to talk. Encourage them to talk about their feelings, talk about any changes that are coming up, set the limits, same limits you've always had, same rules, same consequences, and make sure they have access to information. You don't want them to take on too much responsibility. They're the oldest. It's often them who takes up the brunt of the, you know, the change. You want to make sure that they continue to have an opportunity to just be kids. Shouldering extra responsibility is, you know, difficult for all of the kids. Extra chores are not really going to hurt them, but you want to make sure you keep a balance. They may need to help some around the house, but it's really not okay to ask children to help with personal care for parents. So if a child happens to be the sole caregiver for a parent who's got, you know, severe disabilities, you want to try to help, you know, ask for some help. Talk to the people at the MS Society. Talk to people at the chapter, and they will help you find, you know, another alternative. It's, you know, something that's healthier, and the MS Society will not, you know, judge or, you know, criticize you for that. They will just help you problem solve. So that's really all we have time for today. I want you to know that in terms of the actual words to use when you communicate with kids at different ages and stages, that kind of information you'll get more from the resource list. It's not something we can really go through on a one-hour phone call. Just know that you have to expect some changes and limitations. It's important to be realistic of expectations for yourself as well as for your family and your kids. If you don't have a good support network, it's important to find one. Call the society and say, you know, I need some adult support, and can you help me? And they will. Just be sure to express, you know, how you're feeling, and let your kids know that it's okay if they are having the same kinds of feelings. I wanted to just also give you a little commercial here. Coming up on May 3rd, 6:30 to 7:30 p.m. Pacific time, an in-depth look at progressive MS. One of the questions that I had was about how to recognize progressive MS, and that's really beyond the scope of our discussion here. But that's coming up in May, so May 3rd. We don't have any time now for questions, but I appreciate your being here. Please stay on the line so you can answer some questions. We've got a quick little poll that's only three questions. And Claire, if you're ready, you can take over from here.
Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, this will now begin our polling session. Okay, our first question tonight. After this teleconference, I feel that I have learned tools to help me communicate better within my family. Press the number 1 for yes, number 2 for somewhat, number 3 for no, or number 4 for not sure. Again, after this teleconference, I feel that I have learned tools to help me communicate better within my family. Press the number 1 for yes, the number 2 for somewhat, the number 3 for no, the number 4 for not sure. Please hold while we allow the results to come in. Okay, and please hold while we prepare our next question. Okay, and our next question tonight. This teleconference gave me tools to help me talk to my children about MS. Press number 1 for yes, number 2 for somewhat, number 3 for no, or number 4 for not applicable. Again, this teleconference gave me tools to help me talk to my children about MS. Press the number 1 for yes, the number 2 for somewhat, the number 3 for no, the number 4 for not applicable. And please hold while we allow the results to come in. And please hold while we prepare our last question. Okay, our final question tonight. I feel more confident navigating parenting challenges while living with MS after participating in this call. Press number 1 for yes, number 2 for somewhat, number 3 for no, number 4 for not applicable. Again, I feel more confident navigating parenting challenges while living with MS after participating in this call. Press the number 1 for yes, the number 2 for somewhat, the number 3 for no, the number 4 for not applicable. Okay, and ladies and gentlemen, this concludes tonight's call. You may all disconnect at this time.